This morning we'll be in chapter 7. It's been a couple weeks since we've been in here, but that's okay. We'll catch up real quick. Chapter 7 of Proverbs, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of your eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say to wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep you from the strange woman, from the stranger which flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight and evening and the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and a subtle heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lies in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said to him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and with carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He has taken a bad bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goes after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strikes through his liver as a bird hastens to the snare and knows not it's for his life. Hearken to me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart decline to her ways, and go not astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now let's go back and get the implications that the Spirit of God is wanting us to understand in this. When he says, my son, who's he talking to? He's talking to mature sons here, isn't he? He's talking to someone who has their heart toward God. Not what the quotes, doctrines of denominations is, but the heart of God. Okay? He says, my son, keep my words and not lay, but store up my commandments, not with you, but within you. So what's he talking about? Putting them in your mind. Putting in the order in your thinking process, see? Storing them in your mind. Where do you store your thoughts? Within your mind. See, not in your heart, but in your mind. He said, keep my commandments and what? And live. And literally it says, keep my commandments and be restored to life. The word restored is here. Be restored to life. See, because we were born dead in our sins and trespasses in the natural, weren't we? And he said, be restored by the commandments. If you keep these commandments, you will be restored to life. And my law, keep my law as the apple or the center of your eye or the center of your vision. If your vision is centered upon God, do you have any doubt that you'll live in life? You'll live the life of God, to live the spiritual life? And that's what he's trying to tell you here. He's giving you this foundation, this blueprint of how to live that overcoming successful life in God. We're not talking about getting a whole lot of money and properties and all that stuff. We're talking about living in peace. And that's all life is, isn't it? Stuff doesn't make you happy. It's living in peace. Right, it's a center focus. Verse 3, it says, bind them upon your fingers. Write them upon the table of your hearts. Now, what's he really saying when he says, bind them on your fingers? He's talking about these commandments. Bind them on your fingers. What would that be? What you do. See, do what you say. Don't be a talkie-talkie, but a walkie-talkie or a talkie-walkie. You know, what you talk, you walk. Do what the word is, not just a hearer of the word, but also a doer of the word, according to the scriptures, right? He says, and put them on the table and bind them upon and write them upon the table or the tablets of your mind. Again, we're going right back to our mind. Not the heart, but our minds. If you got this written in your heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, So if the thoughts of God are in my mind, how am I going to respond? Just like he would. Why do you think God says he has no problem with giving us the keys to the kingdom? If he has raised us up and trained us in all the ways to think and act like he would and respond to the situations in the same manner he would, why would he be concerned about us doing anything out of the question? Okay? Very simple. Verse 4, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinswoman. Now, kinswoman's not really what it should say. It should say intimate friend. Intimate friend. Let me read this out of the NAS, New American Standard. Okay. If I can get this page turned. This is what the NAS says about it. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. It says it properly. See? Now, when you have an intimate friend, if understanding and wisdom are your intimate friends, and your sister is close to you, so she's intimate with you also, would that say you're having a relationship with these things? If you have a relationship with them and you're that close and intimate with them, that would say something about you, wouldn't it? Well, it would make you just like them, wouldn't it? If you're intimate with wisdom and understanding and knowledge, wouldn't you be wise and understanding? That they cross out that word may right there, because that's an added word. It's a doubt word already. That if you do it, maybe it'll happen. No, no, no. If you do it, it will happen, see? That they keep you from the adulterous woman, from the adulterer which flatters with her words. Now, are we talking about a physical woman? See, we're talking about our soul, that woman within each one of us, that female side in each one of us that will lead us into our emotions and take us off course. Okay? So we all hear that woman talk to us, don't we? If anyone says they don't hear that woman talk to us, it's because they don't know what the woman is. Some people have this notion that every thought that comes through their head is God. Well, and some people have it the other way, that none of it's of God. So, you know, but none of that is correct. The correct thing is God is speaking to us, but we have to have the ear to hear, don't we? That's why the whole book of Revelation says, blessed is he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit says. Verse 6, because at the window of my house, I look through my, it says casement, but it's lattice work. It's like lattice, you know, you can see through it, holes in it. So I worked through the lattice work, you know. And I beheld, or I saw among the simple ones, and what would you think the simple ones would be? The seducible, the immature. See, immature people are seducible, are they not? Church world's living off of them. That's exactly what that's about. I discerned among the youths, right? And literally it says, I discerned among the sons, is what it should say. The sons, a young man lacking understanding or lacking heart or mind, is what the word, the Hebrew word is laid bare, and it means heart or mind. So he was lacking the mind of what? He was lacking the mind of Christ or the mind of God. Huh? And that was all of us when we started, wasn't it? We all went through this. Passing through the streets near the corner, and he went the way to her house. Does anyone tell me what 1 Corinthians 15:33 says? Evil communications corrupts good lifestyles. See? And this is what it is. If I want to fellowship and have this intimate relationship with the thoughts of God and the commandments of God, it's going to protect me from this adulterous woman of my emotions. But if I want to go her way, and this one void of understanding, he went her way, didn't he? He chose to follow his emotions. And now we'll see what's going to go on because of it. It says, in the twilight, verse 9, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Twilight, evening, and black and dark night. What's it saying? He was in ignorance, total ignorance, no understanding, right? And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. Well, that's the emotions. Because the emotions, I guarantee you, will deceive you. I don't care if it's happy emotions, sad emotions, depressed emotions, every kind of emotion you have, joy can deceive you if you let it have its way. It'll take you too far. You got the churches out here that looks like a bump on a log that never moves. And you got the others that's got so much emotions that the building's shaking when they get in it. And all of them are deceived. in their emotions. What about the thought processes of God? Because God didn't say you had to jump up and down and run around. He didn't say you had to sit like a bump on a log, did he? It's not even about what you physically do with your body. It's about your thinking process. As a man thinks in his mind, so is he. It's about the mind. It's all. This whole thing is about putting on the mind of Christ, thinking the thoughts that God gives us to think. If we think those things, we'll be fine. It'll protect us from those soulish emotions that deceive us, won't they? But if we work out of emotions and make that decision, you can take this one to the bank. 100% of the time, your emotions will take you off base. I don't say you can't have emotions or you can't be emotional at times, but if you make decisions from those emotions, there's where you're going to get off course. Just don't make the decision.
So easy to
see. Sure. Just swept up, caught up in the flood, you know, and go with it. Okay, look at verse 11. Now, he's going to tell you about this woman. In verse 11, he says, she is loud and stubborn. That means she wants it her way, doesn't it? And don't emotions want it their way? How many times have you heard me say, his name is Yahweh, not your way? Her feet abide not in her house. What's he talking about? He's using a harlot, okay, a prostitute. A prostitute is unfaithful to any particular person, isn't she? Well, she just, whatever, you know, she's taking care of herself. She ain't worried about what anybody else wants. She's taking care of herself. And that's what he's talking about, an unfaithful person, see? Did I pass one? Yeah, I passed over 10, didn't I? I met him, a woman with a tire of a harlot and a settle of heart. Did I do the settle of heart? Okay, let me back up and do that 10 again, because I feel like I've left something out of there. Just my mind's telling me I need to go back there. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. That means she's dressed in one thing. It's not talking about wearing short dresses and revealing clothes. But it is revealing, isn't it? In her actions, she's dressed in her actions and what she does, and it's all about what she wants. You know, she's loud and stubborn and all that stuff. But she's dressed in the attire of her heart, and she's subtle of heart. What does subtle mean? She's crafty. She's very devious about the way she does things to lure you in there. She can't come in and slap you upside the head and get your attention that way, can she? That way, she comes in very subtly. Very enticing, very smooth, to try to deceive you to do things. But then we're going to say she was loud and she didn't abide in her house. In verse 12 we go on. Now is she outside, right? Now in the streets, and that really, it says the square, that's the center of a town, right? The square back then was the center of their towns. Is that right? Okay. The main focus of everything, she's in the center of everything now, and she lies in wait at every corner. Okay? So, she caught him in verse 13 and kissed him, and with a brazen or shameless face said to him, see, with a brazen or shameless face, not a impudent, but brazen or shameless face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me this day. I have paid my vows to God. And see, that's religion. I've went and done my thing. I showed up Sunday morning. I went Wednesday afternoon or Thursday or Friday or whatever day of the week it was. I've done my thing. See, it's not about spending so much time with God, but it's a lifestyle. If I think I can pay my vows to God by just going to church on Sunday mornings or that and not living it all my life, who am I deceiving? Yourself. God doesn't need us to do anything. He wants us to do it because we love Him. Pure and simple. Therefore, she says in verse 15, I came forth to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. And we'll see later on in Proverbs it says that the harlot seeks the precious life. Okay? And she goes out and seeks it. But that's what we're talking about, the soul in each one of us. They try to destroy us. They try to take the center of attention. They try to get on the throne to control everything. They take your thought process over. They got you. Your own soul gets you. And verse 16 says, and verse 15 ends up and said, I have found you too. You know why she found him? Because he was immature. He didn't know who he was.
He also let her in with
him. Well, sure. He had that his immaturity became intimate with the soul. And you become intimate with the soul, guess the soulish, you're going to get evil communications, corrupts good lifestyle. You know, if you run with the big dogs, you'll get fleas, won't you? with his emotions and took a hold of it, and that just took him right down the path. In that flood, he was just carried on. Said, I have decked my bed or spread my couch with coverings of tapestry, isn't even in there, it's added words. I just decked my bed with coverings, or spread my couch with coverings, with carved works of fine linen of Egypt. Now, what's fine linens of Egypt represent?
The world.
Well, no, it's the righteousness of the world. I've covered it up and made it look good to the world. Isn't that religion? Just so you look good on the exterior, isn't that right? If you look good, then you must be good, right? The outside of the cup's clean, but the inside's full of all kinds of abominations, right? But religion says just make the outside look clean. I have perfumed my bed or my couch with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. What is myrrh supposed to be?
Pain.
It's a painkiller. It can numb you, right? Aloes is another healing process, isn't it? And cinnamon, there is a healing property in cinnamon. All these things are to numb you to the realities of God and who you really are, and keep you thinking and centering upon her, that strange woman, that harlot. And that's what the soul does. She wants to keep you focused on her and attending to her needs and her wants versus the man's wants, Christ. And she says in verse 18, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. You know what it really says? Until the morning star rises. Ho-ho! What's she saying? Don't worry about anything until Jesus shows up. Isn't that what the church says? When he comes back, that's what it's all about, right? Till the morning star rises. Let us satisfy ourselves with love. Until he comes, let's just do whatever, right? Isn't that emotions? Isn't that the soul being center of focus? Look at verse 19. Because the good man is not at home. Oh, he isn't here. See, the whole focus of the church world is Jesus or Christ is not here. But that's a total fabrication by religion to make you think you got to wait on someday something coming back. And the Bible clearly stated that Adam was created from the dust of the earth in Genesis 2:7, and God breathed his breath into him. He became a living soul, and that living soul was reproduced, was he not? And there's a law of physics, which was a law of God from before. You can't plant corn and get beans and potatoes. You only get what you plant. And God planted himself in us, and he's going to see that reproduction of himself in all humanity. Because that seed of Adam has reproduced, and seed can only reproduce what he is. And if he had Christ in him, he reproduced Christ in someone else, didn't he? That's the way God sees it. That's the way God shows it. The church has a long way to go to get that straightened out. But see, they say the good man's not at home. There again, they're relying on your immaturity and your ignorance to buy that story. He has gone on a long journey. He's not here now, right? And isn't 90% of the church sitting looking in the sky waiting for him to come splitting the sky open? They think that, in literal, that's what's going to happen. He has taken a bag of money. Well, the word money is literally silver. What is silver? So it says he's got the redemption with him. Guess where redemption is? It's within you. You've already got it. You just don't know it. We were saved before the foundation of the world, according to this book. Didn't he die? The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, correct? Well, then before we were ever created, he already solved the problem, so it's already taken care of. And the people cannot see that because God hasn't given the ability, I guess, but that's okay. It says a bag of money, it says with him, but literally the language says he has taken a bag of silver in his hand. See, and now I see it in a different way. When he took a bag of silver with him, he took and made preparation for us. You see what I'm saying? He took the silver, the redemption, in his hands. His works was what brought the redemption, true or false. So I see this as a part of him making preparation for all of us by taking this redemption with him. And we'll come home at what? Literally, it says at the full moon. He'll come at the full moon. And with her abundant persuasiveness, and see, there's that silver tongue she has, with her abundant persuasiveness, She caused him to turn. With the flattering or the seductiveness of her lips, she misleads him. I'll read it again. With her abundant persuasiveness, she caused him to turn, and with the seductiveness of her lips, she misleads him. And he follows, verse 22, after her instantly, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the discipline of the fetters or the stocks. So they don't even realize what's going to happen. They just walk into it blindly because they're caught up in their emotions. They can't reason right. Now verse 23 is an amazing part of this verse. It says, till a dart or an arrow strikes through his liver as a bird hastens to the snare and knows not that it's for his life. Now, what is this dart going through his liver? What's that saying? The liver is a purification device, and if you let that woman get a hold of you and pierce your liver or your cleansing device, and that liver represents the mind, okay? Not literally the liver, but the mind. If she gets a hold of your emotions and puts that dart or that arrow through your thinking process, how can you think? If you take the cleansing process out from a human being, what happens to you? Take your liver out, and what happens? You die. But the liver represents the thinking process. So if you take this, and she takes out your thinking process, which she does if you let her seduce you, then you have nothing but deception, see? And she takes you out, okay? It's the same as a bird that goes to a snare and they don't realize it's going to cost them her life. When he goes through this, when we go and let that seductiveness take over on us, we don't realize it's going to wipe us out, do we? If they did, they'd never do it, would they? Verse 24, hearken to me now, therefore, O ye sons. Now, he's not talking about everybody. He's talking about who? Wise sons. Everybody's not going to listen, are they? He's talking to the sons that he's given the ability to hear. And attend to the words of my mouth. Verse 25 goes on to say, let not your heart or your mind, it should be mind, decline to her ways, nor go astray in her paths. Because she has cast down many fatally wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. And her house is the road to where? Sheol, the grave. Going down to the chambers of death. See, there's that mistranslation of the word hell. Hell only exists in the mind of religion. That's the only place it exists. And most people that's never been inside of a church are so religious, it's pathetic. If there was a real devil, he would gag at the religion that's in humanity. If there was a real devil, I said. But her house is the road to the grave, going down to the chambers of death. So what's he telling you? If you go with your emotions, where are you going to end up? In a grave. You're never going to come to the ways of life in this realm of life. In this realm we live in, you will never come to life as long as you live after your emotions. It's sad to say that most of the church world is living in what? Emotions. The very thing that deceives people, it says in Matthew 24 and also in Revelation 13, that they were deceived by signs and wonders and miracles. And that's the very thing that the church world is thriving upon this day, is signs and wonders and miracles. It says it in two places. There's your witness, right? Well, I'm going to hold up our day. Any questions or anything on this?